the blessings of the tithe is what God wants for you, not what God wants from you. And our theme is we're going to look at is just like this. There's no place like home, and we're going to talk about those areas of what it could be, what it should be, what it ain't, what it can be, and all. We're going to look at all that throughout the year. And I know it's going to be impactful for everybody in some ways. The team's going to work on it, so we want feedback. So let's look at this this aspect of what we have here. You should have received this letter. It should have come in like this. It would have had that commitment card. We have some up here like this. It had a letter inside of it, and it had also this chart that you have front and back seat. Now, I apologize. Some of you received it, and it said 2017 instead of 2018. On the sheet that I printed up, what I do for our finance people is I show them last year's and this year's, and I put it on one sheet, and I messed it up. I'll get to it. But the one that you have today is correct of what you have in there. And so what we're talking about is the letter, by the way, explains what stewardship is. It means what we do with the budget. It also means you are not just another number. You're not just another dollar to be able to be in here. It is an aspect because stewardship matters, and we're going to talk about that in the message. All right, so the estimate of giving card of what we had here is you'll fill it out on one side. That gives us accurate dates. On the right side, you see, it talks about your prayers, your presents, your gifts, your financial gifts, and of yourself. And so what we want to be able to do is to be in prayer. We want to, you know, how often will you pray, if not an intercessory prayer? Will you pray regularly for your home and for your pastor and your church? We're going to give you some ways to do that, to where you intentionally stop and pray, because that does make a difference. We're going to look at the presence of when you're here. Many of you travel and you're all over the place and you get to go to religious events, you know, like that's going to be in Atlanta and in a couple of weeks with the SEC championship. I know you're going to be there and stay overnight and be there. I understand fully. So you're not going to be able to make it back. But if you're here, to be here, because it's so important, not only for what you hear, but also what you see and experience with other people of being there. It's nothing like it. It's like live music. You can watch it on TV, but when you're here, when you hear the story about somebody who really gave a great testimony for God, but when you're there, it makes a big difference. So you mark that down and make that commitment, and then the scripture reading, and I'm going to talk to you just a minute about the grand sweep, and then the financial giving. And you can change this anytime throughout the year to be able to do it. Today is Consecration Sunday, but it can be any Sunday that you want to come at any act of time that you decide to do it, and you can lay it up here on the altar as an act of worship. All right. So here's the chart real quick. Let me go over this just to explain it. So if you look at this, this is just shows you where your income is. So if you happen to be making, let's say, $40,000, whether it's gross or net, and you're able to look at that, you can look at that 40. I was going to do a pen, but I'm not going to do it. But you look at the $40,000, you look across, and it goes to the right side, and it shows you the percentage. The left side's weekly, the one side's is yearly, and you look and see if what you've given, your statement that you had should have explained all of that. If you have any discrepancies, let us know. And you look and see where you are. The goal is to reach the tithe and beyond it. So when you look and you see what you're giving in that area, it's going to point you exactly to that same spot to be able to find that. And once you find it, you look and see. And if you're if you're making $40,000 a year and you give about $1,000, that will show you that you're giving about 2.5%. All right. So when you look on that, you can say, I want to move to the tithe. You see what the tithe is, and so how do I get there? Well, take a step, take a 1%, take a 2% step. Not just a money amount, but a percentage, okay? Because you're looking at tithe as a percentage. It's your first fruits, 10% right off there, off the bat to be able to do with it. So that's to help you to grow, and you look and see what kind of steps that you want to take, all right? So the next one shows this slide of your sheet that has all of the different givings and breakdowns of the giving patterns of the people of this congregation. And I hate to use the term giving units, but there are 331 giving units, whether it's one individual or whether it's a family of five or six, okay? And each of those are able to give. And our giving last year was $1,093,000. The bottom right-hand corner is where you look at what you did last year. You look at what your anticipated income in this year. And it's just to help you to look at it and to genuinely take a look at it. It's called, well, it's like a budget aspect, but it's deeper. So take that slide. We go to the next one real quick. And so when you look at this, here's some quick teaching. We did this last week. But if you see those first 11 units, 4% of the total giving givers, that's 25% of the budget. When you look at that second group, of 51 giving units, 20%, give 64%, and then 100, which is about 42% of the congregation of giving units, give 88% of the budget. All right? So that's where it is in all those levels, and you look and you see. And then also that big green one that's down there, the green one and the other one at the bottom, 133, and that is based upon those in that area of being able to give in that green part, to be able to give the 12%, 51%. If this group, if you were able to move and take those steps up to give $3,600, which is, you know, $75, I believe, a week or something like that, it will increase the giving of $347,000 of ministry that needs to be done. We don't need any more money, but there's something connected with this. And also that last little part, 102, 39% of giving units give less than $1,000 a year. And then you also see 89 give less than $100, right? So what I'm saying is consider those ways and step, and to take a step up and to be able to look at this, and I think the message is going to apply to this. But that's statistical information just to give it to you, all right? So fill that out. Well, I can't remember what the next slide is, okay? Again, it's the blessing of the tithes, what God wants for you, not what God wants from you. So think about that and pray about it, because considering your ways is very important, all right? So, and we're going to talk about that. The last thing, let me see with this. Ooh, I'm going to have to hurry. Okay. The last thing is the grand sweep, and we're doing this, and this is where you can read throughout the Bible through a year. It's got little pieces in there, and I know sometimes that you're reading stuff and it's repetitious and you want to drop out, so we're going to give you a quick way that you can follow me as I'm reading each and every week and letting you know what's going on. So we're going to show you, this is what you'll be getting if you'll sign up an email, and it's going to change each and every week. So each and every week, I'm going to try to read ahead of time and tell you what's all. I am reading ahead of time and let you know that you can send to other folks. It's always an invitation, and it's going to be a personal one, so follow along. And I'm going to be using some of you. I'm going to meet, so I'll be in some of your homes, and we'll do a quick video and send out, because you need to hear what other people are doing and growing and hearing God's word. Don't miss out on it. If you're not doing it, go back there and pick up this book. They'll give it to you in the back. There's a little card registration, and it keeps up with you each and every week. So now let's go through the message real quick, and just strap yourself in, because I'm going to move, all right, on this thing, all right? So let's look at the blessings of the tithe. That's what God wants for you and not from you. So I'm going to give you two scriptures, and you have all of these in your bulletin. So let's read this first one as it comes in here on Luke 16, all right? So Jesus says, listen, whoever can be trusted, and I put the yellow in there of emphasis, all right? Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And we're going to talk about that. Now, Haggai is a book toward the end of the Old Testament. And it's just about the time when God starts to pull away for a time of periods of silence here, because people have come so accustomed to their own ways and neglecting him. Here's what he says. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Consider your ways. All right? Go up on the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored. In other words, we honor him with what we do and what we bring to him. All right? So one of the keys is being honest with ourselves, because self-deception is the easiest act in life. If you want to start giving yourself a gift, the greatest gift you can give yourself this Advent and Christmas is to be honest with yourself. When Jesus said in Matthew 22, he said, love your neighbor as yourself, all right? Really, that's the aspect of loving in that same way, all right? So the scriptures tell us, listen, consider our ways, you know. In other words, why is this? Consider your ways. Why is this happening, all right? The average person doesn't consider their ways. What they do, the scripture says this, if you will do this, if you will give careful thoughts to your ways, this will make the difference in it. Malachi says, when we turn away, now listen to this, when we turn away from God and we disobey and we rob him and not returning the tithe, he says that we are under a curse. It says, when you withhold your tithes and offering from the Lord, you come under this curse. And so you say, what does this mean? What is this? Here's what it means. It means that you work harder, but you seem to have less. It means that you have plenty of toys, but you don't get to enjoy them and spend as much time with them as you want to do. Or you're enslaved by materialism and by possessions and by powers, but it's not enough. You still have to have more and more. So it's just like this. He says, you know, you have a little more materialism and you start doing a whole lot more, and which can even be Christian ministry, but yet you're not satisfied. That's what he says. Listen, there's not a curse there. There's something with it, but there's also something missing. All right. So when you look at the Malachi passage, when he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, he says these words here. He says, test me in this. It's the only place in the Bible he says, test me in this. It's almost like God looks down at us and says, listen, I know you're struggling with this. I know what you're thinking. You know, you got this job. You worked hard. You got it all yourself. You did everything you needed to do. I know how hard it is to keep it. You never seem to have enough. And I know how you think. And I know everything about it. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you in this one area to test me. Every place else is viewed as horrible to be able to test. He said, just test me and see if I will throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there won't be enough room to contain it. And then there's another part you can read. He said, not only will I do that, I will prevent the devourer from devouring your crops. Because there seems to be a devourer. You seem like you get everything lined up, and then something pulls it and grabs it and pulls it here, and you thought you were going to have more and you have less. And he says, I'll rebuke that. They won't come after you. They'll run towards you instead of coming to pull away from you. And the Lord says, you know, if you have been faithful with your finances to me and to yourself, not only will I pour this into your life, but I'll rebuke the devourer. I don't know if you've ever grown vegetables or trees, fruit trees and whatever. I was talking to a gentleman this week that's a fruit orchard grower, and he talked about last year where the grapefruits and everything, where the trees were bad. But to be able to see this beautiful fruit, but something happened and it just starts falling off. You know, you think it's going to produce. That's how horrible that takes place. And he says, I will stop that where that won't happen. You know, anticipation. He said, if you're faithful to me, because how many of you have done things in the lives of others, but and you thought it was so fruitful, and then just fall off prematurely, and they go in the wrong direction or whatever, all right? And then only that, he says that, and also your nation will be blessed. Not only will I bless you and what you have, I'll bless your family, the nation, and those around you. Something will happen as you do it together, all right? Now, I proved this in my own experience. And by God's grace, I'll never fall to a place where I will not fully trust and lean into God with the tithe and Deborah and I forever. All right. So let me do a quick teaching on this, and then the real message. Are you with me? Does anybody need to breathe? Okay. All right. I do. Okay. All right. So here's just a few matters of clarity. I'm gonna go through these questions, because there's always questions when you come and to talk about this, all right? So what are tithes and what are offerings? Remember, self-deception. Some people says, I come in and I put some money in the plate, I tithe. No, that's not necessary. Tithe is the first 10%. That is what it means, the first fruit. One-tenth is where it comes from. The Old Testament, not only did they give 10%, it actually came out to about 22% with the special offerings. But on top of the tithe, the first 10%, there were offerings. So offering is like this. You're giving, and then God works in your life or works in the life of somebody you've been praying and fasting for, and they get this job. I'll give you an example. My son was all three of our children are involved in the ministry. I've got a youth minister, my youngest son, and my son-in-law is a youth minister and going to be executive pastor somewhere, and my other son is now a solutions developer, but he was a spiritual person too. He used to drive a liquor truck, so he was in spirit too, and it would drive stuff around. All right, so but he has moved too, and he's moved in the salary. He's almost doubled his salary, and so we prayed and fasted in those times for blessings to come into their lives to be able to do this. And so that's what this is. And so as a moment of that, I brought an offering and gift to God. Oh God, thank you the blessing. You know, why didn't I just give it to my son in this? No, I want to give it to God because the blessings of what you can do can reach out in the lives of others. That's what an offering is. And then all that's just saying, oh, God, an offering. God, you're just so good. And you're going to give. But giving an offering and thinking that it's your tithe is like somebody who owes you a loan and you go and give them a gift and say, hey, by the way, here's a gift toward that loan. That's not a gift. That's a payment. All right? That's the difference. You're giving a gift on top of it, all right? So that's that. That's the difference between tithes and offerings. Be honest with yourself about it, all right? Because if you're not, a lot of folks will say this, well, God needs made this deal. Show me. If you'll show me, I'll stand with you. But he doesn't deal. I don't know if you know that before. He tells you the way, and he says he wants our obedience and our joy. All right, so is the tithing New Testament? Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, teachers and scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You tithe on one-tenth of all the spices, you know. And he says this. He says, you should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You would think that Jesus would say, no, you don't need the tithe. That's legalism and everything. He said, absolutely. You know, you're breaking off one piece of rosemary for God, you know, nine for me, you know, one piece of basil, you know. He said, you did that, but you neglected the weightier matters. In other words, he says, yes, you should do it. You know, and here's the part. If there were Old Testament saints who tithed and didn't have the size of the glory and the resurrection on this side of the cross, why would we think that it would be less for us than more for it? And what it's saying back here, listen, if the money in this, all this stuff has such a grip on your life that you can't let go of that 10%, you see, he said, then his aspect, how are you going to expect to excel in mercy? Consider your ways. Think about it. If you can be merciful with your finances, how much more God be merciful with you? I mean, like I say, when you look at that and you see it, of how it's open to it. And again, the tithe is just a starting place. Because here's what happens. As Americans, I shared this last week, we spend 110% of our income. We spend more than we earn. And we get a raise or we get a bonus, we get something else. And you know what we do? We up our state of living even more than thinking about and getting it balanced and getting it right. And we go into debt even further. We chase this thing called financial stability, and it's not there. And you try to get it, and you grab it again, and you find discontent and then all these other things the advertisers tell you, and you go out and you go into debt getting something because of advertisers. You go into debt getting something that you really don't even need to impress somebody that you don't even know. Did you think about that? You're going to get it so somebody, you don't even know them, that they're going to look at you. Don't do that, all right? So there's a difference in it, you know, of understanding this tithe and this offering. So let's go back to the questions again. So with this, pop that next slide, Todd, would you? All right, so is it New Testament? Not, how do you tithe off the gross or off the net? The Bible doesn't say. I'm not going to teach you either way. Whether you make $40,000 and that reduces down to $35,000, it doesn't. I know it says to tithe. You work it out with God. You know, it's clear on that. So now here's the last one. How much do you give to church and how much do you give to parachurch ministries and everything? I say this humorously every year, but it's the easiest way to do it. The way Deborah and I tithe is this way. We give 6% to the church, 3% to the Republican Party, and 1% to the National Rifle Association. So... Thank you. All right. No. All right. So it's really not. But when Malachi, watch, go back to it. When Malachi says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, I believe he means the full 10% to the church. All right. Now, again, I'm giving you my teaching up on this. There was all kind of diversity in the Old Testament of what it was there. But I can give you an examples of people who tithe and gave to other parachurches, and they worked out their tithe. I mean, they would make way up in six digits, seven digits, and to be able to give, and they all compiled it in there to be able to do. But I've also seen them where they gave the first fruits, and they gave offerings above it to the parachurch ministries, and their businesses grew and flourished. And again, not only did it not rebuke the devourer, but it just seemed to increase even more and more. Testimony, four and five times the amount of what is coming in. In other words, to be able to say that is... is being honest with oneself about it. So if, and I'll give you, and with us, I'll just share this with you because I want to lead by example. Deborah and I's giving to this church is 12%. Our total giving that we give additional of our income is about 17%. All right, of what we give to additional groups and all the offerings of what we give to be able to do it. That ain't counting family. If you called it family, that's probably 38%, you know, you start doing that. But that's the difference. In other words, the message is you can't outgive God. And what's so important is teach your children to be able to do this and be honest with yourself about it. And this is tough. What I'm about to say is if you happen to be in a home and one person's income earner and you're not, or whatever, or y'all disagree about this, you know, and the tithe, if one's not doing it and you're not making any income and the other one doesn't want to tithe, don't nag them. Don't push them about it, all right? You pray for them that God will have mercy on him or her and to move, but you just do it accordingly. But here's the thing, if you are working and the other one too and you believe in the tithe and the other one doesn't and both of you choose not to, then you join that person in your sin of disobedience, all right? You have to answer to God with it, all right? So this is what God, and give that. Listen, you can't outgive God. And the one more thing is teach your children to learn to be financially not just stable, but to do this early so that the floodgates will come open in their lives to be able to pour into them. The reason you do this, there is nothing worse than watching the fruit that you have done in the lives of your children and others, and all of this stuff comes in because they didn't consider their ways, and it comes into the relationship, and then that's when the devourer comes in. And you see their lives are broken and things that's fallen off as a result of it. The broken heart that you experience and with their lives being out of balance because they didn't put God first in it and learn how to do this and see the blessings. There's nothing worse than to sit there and watch that fruit throw itself off prematurely. Right? So teach them to be able to do this. And the last thing, here's something. We're about to move with the way... We're about to go with the way forward. And, you know, this is talking about with the sexuality in the church and, you know, and you know, how do we do and, you know, what are we going to do? You know, how is it going to change and contextualization and all this stuff goes on. So it's a little bit tense. Remember, I've told y'all, don't go anywhere. Don't stop coming or don't stop giving and trust me to walk you through this. Let me tell you one of the things that Christians do that's horrible. What we do is we withhold our presence or we withhold our money during this time, thinking that we're going to punish other people as a result of it, all right? When you do that, you're withholding from God, okay? Because you don't give to the church, you give to God. When the old woman took the two pennies and she threw it in the church system, remember Jesus said she's given more than anybody else. You know, here's a woman that was poor, a widow, was having to live on nothing. If anybody had a complaint, it was her. She knew the church was corrupt. She saw the other people living and flourished, and she was in poverty. She gave it in the midst of a corrupt system because she gave to God in this, all right? You know, when you get in a situation and you get to the place where you can't do that, get out of the church. Go someplace where you can. But don't rob God find a church where you can go. Don't give up on God. Give up. You can't outgive God. Let his mercy to be able to flow in you. Because listen, God doesn't need our money. It's really not our money, all right? No one's salvation is dependent upon the amount of the check of what you write. Because he can raise up rocks and testimonies to be able to do this. We give because he commanded us to give. That's what his word says. And whenever we give to the church, this is what he blesses. And there's been times when I've gotten mad at the church and some other things and other people and stuff that goes on and I didn't like something. If I ever get to the point where I can't give to the church, then my responsibility is to leave and find another church of where I can do that. All right. So that's the whole part of understanding that. So we give to God, all right? And he wants something for us. Now, one more, and then I'm going to give you the real reason, and I'm going to wrap it up here. Here's the final exhortation. Generosity brings a blessing. Given will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken over, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap by God, storehouse of heaven. For with the measure that you use, it'll still be measured with you. You can't give with a teaspoon and expect a 5-gallon bucket to be poured back on you this way. What it says here is if you give, Deborah and I decided if we're going to make a mistake, we're going to make a mistake in the area of generosity. And because of this, this is what I've learned. The more generous I am with God, the more generous he is with me. He is gracious, But he's also a just God. You know, I don't get what I deserve. In fact, that many of the times the mercy he gives me exactly what I need. But in his justice, I can't expect to give in a little bit like this and expect this big pouring thing to come back on me. But the more generous I am, the more blessing he is with us, more generous with us. The second Corinthians passage, this first part. Remember, if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly, and you read all the way through it. That last part in verse 10 says this. It says, God will increase your whatever. God, with the food supply and increase, he will give you the seed. When you give to him and do it, not only, he's got you covered. He knows this, all right? And he says, you can't outgive God. Use your money to bring praise and thanksgiving to God, and he will keep entrusting, supplying you with everything of what you have and what you need. He will give you what you need, your substance, your more money, all right? That's what he says. He will supply it for you so you can give and praise to God. So now, here we go. Now, here's my real message. It won't take about 5 or 18 minutes, either one, all right, to be able to do this, all right? The real motivation, whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much, but also who can't be trusted with little can't be trusted with the great one. And this is what I would pray. If you're making $10,000, I'm praying that you'd be faithful in that, give $1,000. God says he'll increase, and next year you make $20,000. And then the next year after that, you have $20,000, your job increases, and you make $40,000, all right? And you get up $40,000, you say, man, I was only given $1,000. I don't know if I can give $4,000. Do you know in 2 years you've just increased your spendable income by $26,000? I'm not a financial planner, but I would take that deal, you know? Do you see it? In other words, that's the blessing that would come, and I believe it can happen. But here's the question. Now watch what I'm about to say. With all of the stuff I've told you, so I'm gonna take a breath here, of why we need to be faithful with the little bit that he's entrusted with us, which is this right here. All right? The real motivating factor, and if we consider our ways. All right. Whew. True riches is something that's connected not with our money but our giving. True riches is being able to carry with you the power and the presence of God into a room when there's someone that you love and you have invested and poured into the lives of somebody else who's eaten up with alcoholism or depression or anxiety or all the other things that's evolved on them, and to be able to go and to put your hand on them and to feel in the power and presence of God, and you just don't know it any different, and you say, go. And something happens in their body. Chemistry changes. Something happens where they fit in their mind and their spirit, and it turns around. Doesn't mean they stop going to therapy and others, but something happens there. That's called the apostolic powers of what God gives to us. You know, that's the true riches. Let me tell you, when you have a daughter or you have a wife and they lose that baby, when the spouse cannot sleep or falls into depression and anxiety, instead of going and touching them on the shoulder and saying, it's going to be okay, God loves you, and I love you, hey, here's some money, get a better car, go away for a weekend. Instead of being able to do that, and it doesn't cut it because you look and you see it, in their lives. It doesn't cut it for them, and it doesn't cut it for us because we love them. It's to be able to reach and touch them on the shoulder and to pray and to say, the Spirit of God is going to strengthen you. Trust him. And God, I pour this in. I can't explain it, but this is what he says he will do. He says it'll pour it into the lives of other individuals through you. And you'll say, I don't know if I want it. Let me tell you, if you love people enough, you'll desire it. Okay, he'll give it to them in this way. All right? And he says, I'm not going to give that power to you unless you get your lives right with me. This past week, just to be able to go and to touch one person and to be able to see there in the very presence of God, I saw it come over them, you know. And that's not about me. I'm telling you, there's something about it. If I can't be free to let go of little things, how is God going to trust me with the big powers? If we get so consumed with the other part and we get so stingy, Jesus is saying, who's going to give you that power? If you don't let go of it, all right? Listen, I don't need any more money. I'd like more money, but I don't need any more money. What I do need is more power of God, that power in my life. Not King Kong, but King Jesus. in my life to be able to do it. Because I get so sick and tired of seeing people who are just broken and pushed down and nothing seems to be do about it. And we consider our ways instead of looking to God. And that's why people give up on the church, because they come to church and there's no power there. It's not about finances. It's about the power and the grace of God. I praise any of them that go down and they give those clothing and everything. I pray when they clothe themselves with it that they'll see something else. Not, hey, this is going to get us over the hump. This is going to raise us up. There's something different. Nothing can destroy us. Nothing can come against us in the love of God. And it changes their heart and lives. And we get our lives in orders, and what comes against us doesn't destroy us anymore. So praise team, come on back up. So that's the real reason. And I love this, believe me. And what I'm about to say, people are going to say, man, why would you even mess up? This is the best place I've ever been. I am content. But I'm not complacent. I've already said, if they try to move me somewhere else, I don't want to go. All right? I want to stay right here. But there is still a sense of a holy dissatisfaction that I have. Because there's parts of it in our life that I want that power of God to be unleashed. I want it to be just everything that God desires us to have. Right? And I understand why people do this. I know pastors have not been paid and they didn't teach it, and you've had bad teachings and everything that come as a result of it. I understand. But what I want to be able to hear, if I thought that this was as good as it gets, that just going through and the great deeds and works of what we do, if I thought that was as good as it gets, I would have quit. But I'm telling you, if I did not have that promise of the apostolic power as a promise to me in my life and anybody else that does it, I would have quit. I would have started raking sand traps at a golf course years ago. I believe it's there, and I believe if we get our lives together with this, God will pour that into our lives. That's why I say it. I give you the parts to help you with it. There's something about it. He commands us to do it. And he says, if you will do this, if you will return to me, I will take pleasure in it. The chariots of fire. When I run, I feel the presence and the joy of God that I bring him delight. Something about it releases something within us. And I'm going to pray that we would be able to do that. I hope that if you've made the decision or whatever, it would be one to come up and grab your card, find it again and change, add another O to it on the end, okay? Not the front of it, okay? But you're moving toward the tithe because, Lord, I don't want to live like this anymore. I want to live the desire that you have for me. And God says, if you'll get it right with me in this way, not only will I take pleasure in it, I will pour in so much in your life, you can trust me in those riches to be able to do that. Because it's what he wants for you and not what he wants from you. That's the true message of it. And that's where I want to be with each of us here. I really thank you for letting me share my heart and ministry with you here. It is what God desires from us. So I pray the greatest blessings upon you. And so may your fingers be so loose that these earthly things fall out and your hands are open to receive the true riches. So let's pray. Okay. All right, God. We apologize on behalf of the church for our attachment to money and our possessions, for putting those ahead of the true riches and pursuing what's really true. These people would not be here unless they had a hunger for more of those true riches. That's why we're here. So help us to get our lives, our financial lives, into order. We apologize and we ask forgiveness for where we've been out of order. We're considering our ways. When our spending's been out of control, when our giving's been stingy, do a work of grace in our hearts that would release that grip that money seems to have on us. Speak to us individually. Lord, it's about you and us. And it's not about us nagging anybody else. And then speed your church on the way to receiving true riches. I ask that you give miraculous testimonies all over this room. I ask that you honor your holy word and open up the floodgates of blessings. Set your grace upon it, healing us of addictions that encumber us. And give us a testimony that in you we might give to set others free. May it be so, Lord. May it be so, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us that we might consider our ways and put our lives back in order with you. We realize it's not what you want from us, it's what you want for us. And once we know that, we'll never look to the left or to the right or behind us. because the way that you have before us will be crystal clear. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.